Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce a crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back. We have Major Travis Yates from the Tulsa Police Department, and you can find him at travisyates.org. He also travels the country talking about the courageous police leader. If only there was a book. Well, I believe there is. Travis Yates wrote it. So the courageous police leader. So you got to love that. So thanks for being on the show, Dr. Travis Yates. We also have Captain Brett Bartlett, and he is the founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com, retired from the Tampa Police Department with, and he makes me say this, 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience. So I said it, Brett. And we also have Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro Police Department, also the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And we all remember seeing Randy represent every law enforcement officer in the country at the RNC when he had that little moment about you know, with Trump, with President Trump. That was special, and we all witnessed it. And next time, I'm giving him a Leo Roundtable shirt to wear during that little moment. So, but thank you guys for being on the show. Appreciate it. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Goals at Goals.com. Also, our satellite sponsor, ComplyTechnologies.com. Thanks to them, we had satellite radio on May the 5th. We have not looked back since. Also, we have AeroPrecisionUSA.com. They are back, our arm sponsor. Also, GunLearn.com. BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor, and thanks to them, we're reaching about 1.5 million people right now on stream. Also, TwoBells.com, they've built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and we have another new one, FishOrlandoBass.com. Fishing charters, and when you get really brave, I think Brett's wife is out there wrestling an alligator right now. He sent her off. You know, I usually tell people that if you're having to take the wife and the kids or the wife and the grandkids to Disney in Orlando, drop them off. You got choices. Just, you know, go on the bass fishing charter, you know, with fishorlandobass.com, or go hunt alligators. And Brett did it in reverse order. He just sent the wife to go hunt alligators. So I don't know how that works out, but hopefully that'll work out for them. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian, at tampafp.com. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Our first story, Fulton County Grand Jury. They declined to indict an officer in a church deacon's taser death. I hate, even though, well, this came from Fox 5 Atlanta, but there's more than what meets the eye with the headline. And then we got body cam footage of a Rochester police officers. They shoot and kill an armed guy, and then K-9 stops a suspect assaulting an officer or deputy as soon as the K-9 gets a hold of the guy's earlobe. And then we got female horn dog a cop. Wow. Brett's going to be the expert witness on this one. Female horn dog cop says tickets for everyone that day if she doesn't get laid. And then we've got Savannah officers justified in shooting a suspect who reversed and crashed into officers during the pursuit. An officer got dragged, and then explosives found during an arrest of a Tennessee guy who threatened public officials. And then if we have time to get to it, and it is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Alberta. Officers are dragged when they try to stop a driver inside a stolen vehicle. So we got two incidents where cops get dragged with cars. So if you guys are ready, let's start off with the first one, Fox5Atlanta.com. You know, you never know what you're going to get in Fulton County. Fulton County Grand Jury, they declined to indict an officer in a church deacon's taser death. I'm kind of impressed going in here, because you remember outside Atlanta, this is around the area. Remember the officers that in the drive-through stopped the bad guy? He got a hold of one of the officers' taser, and he's running away, and he goes back and he's pointing the taser in the direction of one of the officers, and I believe it was the other officer fired and used lethal on him, and that, you know, and that guy was in a world of hurt, being prosecuted by a DA. I think the DA's name was Johnson, if I'm not mistaken back then. I'm pretty sure he ended up getting voted out of office or not voted back in, and he was gone and the charges were dropped. But it was just a nightmare. So this is in Fulton County. I think they may have gotten it right. On this particular one, Fulton County Grand Jury declined to file an indictment against a former Atlanta police officer in the death of a 62-year-old church deacon following a traffic stop. The guy's name is Johnny Hallman Sr. Now, I'm going to start off by saying this guy's a bad guy. He's noncompliant. He's fighting with the cop. They say he's a church deacon. Even when you hear the article about Johnny Holman Sr. died on August 10th, 2023. Now, it has been almost 2 years, but after a taser was used on him by an Atlanta police officer during a dispute over a traffic citation, guy did not want to sign the ticket. Holman, who had just left Bible study, and he picked up dinner for his wife. So they're trying to make this dude sound like a saint, and he's involved in a minor crash. Cop gets there. Karan Kimbrough attempts to issue a traffic ticket. Holman, you know, our bad guy, he's having no part of it. He refuses to sign the ticket. Now he wants to talk to a supervisor. So cop gets jammed up because he doesn't call or doesn't wait for the supervisor. But anyhow, he ends up having to tase the guy. There's a fight. And our bad guy says, "I can't breathe." And Officer Kimbrough deploys the taser. The guy loses consciousness. He's later pronounced dead at the hospital. Now, the Fulton County Medical Examiner determined that the cause of death was cardiac dysrhythmia, but it was triggered by the stun gun with heart disease listed as a contributing factor. So it wasn't, you know, they always try to blame the taser for stuff, but this guy had heart issues, and that was a contributing factor to why he ended up dying. And it doesn't even mention him exerting himself, you know, from fighting with the cop, which he shouldn't have done. And of course, they throw in the manner of death was ruled a homicide, which gets everybody's panties in a wad. But that just means it was not a natural death. The grand jury found that there was not enough evidence to move forward with charges or even with a trial. And it kind of goes on. We have the Atlanta police chief weighing in, Darren Shearbum. He ended up firing the officer because he violated department policy by making an arrest before the supervisor arrived, which makes no sense to me. But agencies can run things their own way. In response to the death, the department updated procedures saying that you can put a note on a ticket saying refusal to sign instead of taking the bad guy to jail. And the families filed, of course, a civil rights lawsuit against the city, and they've amended it. Now they're doing the chief and the officer, accusing them of using excessive force and violating the bad guy's constitutional rights. The lawsuit was amended in December to include the tow truck driver. They added him as well because he knelt on the bad guy's head and neck during the altercation, which means that the dude's freaking fighting and they're trying to handcuff him and subdue him. And the tow truck driver was just trying to help out the cop. So there you go. That's what we have. We got about 3.5 minutes before we go to our first commercial break. I know you guys are looking at each other saying, who's going to take this first? Who's the most expert guy we have here? Brett Bartlett. Look, you took the reins.
I'm not the most expert guy here, but I was just the first guy to do it. Of course, it doesn't give a whole lot of detail about what the bad guy did and how the bad guy resisted. I noted that said after that event, their policy changed where you don't have to sign a citation. And I looked up the Florida statute. That's been that way in Florida for a very long time, because what does the state gain either way by having them sign a ticket? It doesn't negate the ticket if they don't. So at least in Florida, once you issue the ticket, whether they sign or not, whether they ball it up, it doesn't matter. The ticket is issued. But it used to be, and Chip, you remember this, if you don't sign that ticket, you're coming out of that car, because it used to be an arrestable offense. So I don't know if it was worth it. But at the same time, you know, when an officer gives somebody an order, they need to obey the order. And if they don't like it, they'll fix it the next day when they call internal affairs.
I think it's how Brett, that's how you met your wife, isn't it? She refused to sign, and then
that was on a poll, but you go ahead.
That was on a poll. All right. Speaking of polls, I think Randy's got a poll in the background in the man cave there. Randy Sutton, you're up.
So if you saw that, the last sentence on the news report, it said that the district attorney was looking at presenting it to a different grand jury.
Oh, gosh.
That's what bothered me most, is that, okay, well, they didn't get the result that they wanted. So Doctor now they're going to go jury shopping for this.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I bet Travis has got some input about the leadership of this organization.
Well, I want people to remember this, and some will say this is controversial, but then you just have a mental illness and you need to go watch the fall of Minneapolis. The taser deployment is a higher use of force than placing your knee on someone's shoulder. Okay. And you got to remember, back to the George Floyd incident, he died from heart issues and clogged arteries brought on by the use of force that was less than the taser. But what the coroner did is he flipped the script and redid his report to make the use of force the primary cause versus this. So in this case, they actually got it right. God forbid it was 2020 when we'd all lost our minds. And every time a cop touched somebody, it's that's what's caused it. But this guy did not have force used against him because he wouldn't sign a ticket. He had force used against him because he then started to struggle with the officer. And the headlines love to say that we use force because someone was stopped, right? No, it's what happened after the stop. We just need to get back in the habit of holding people accountable when they don't comply, because it puts everybody in danger. And we're all talking about grand juries and everything else, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And perfect timing, Major Travis Yates, because we got our first commercial break coming up. So, and we're getting some nice commentary on Facebook. We got Angela Lopez, Rafi, who's agreeing with us. And it's a crisis mode, guys. Hey, our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can get our gear from a lot of different sources, especially when you go online. And the choices are almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. So they also walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations, and I do mean dozens, like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And Brett pretty much always says, you know, they pretty much have everything but guns and ammunition. So if you haven't been to Gauls lately, please go to Gauls.com. And we give away a couple gift cards every week on the show. We gave away one yesterday. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card by going to Gauls.com, and they will be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And love these guys. You know, they are our satellite sponsor, and they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Destruction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I actually said no injuries. The Glove has achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminate weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Don't forget to watch the cool videos as well. You'll be very impressed, like Brett and I were as well. ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I'm Chip the Block, your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates, Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. We just got done talking about an officer who was in the grease in the Atlanta area in Fulton County, and a grand jury decided not to indict him. But Randy just said that they're looking at shopping grand juries and trying to get this guy indicted. More commentary on this, Lieutenant Randy?
How moronic is it to have a regulation where you have to abide by somebody's demand to see a sergeant before they go to jail? This is the most insane. That they completely disempowered their police officers.
That's right.
They
don't have faith in them. They don't have faith in their officers. So how many times we pull guys over and they've demanded to see a supervisor and you tell them to go pack sand? You know, I mean, there's certainly, you know, not the opportunity to do that for everybody, or everybody would be doing that.
It's insane. It's insane. And they fire the cop because of this. This is when I talk about leadership. This is a failure of leadership. Instead of putting the proper procedures and into place, and then when it becomes inconvenient because of the media, then who is the expendable one? It's the cop.
Yeah, and good point, Randy. And this is why it's so important to carefully select where you work, because you know you should know going into it. If you work, you know, for Atlanta PD, and you look at the issues and the problems that there have been there in the past, you should know. So pick wisely, you know, even in what, you know, state, you know, jurisdiction that you're going to be a police officer in, because the people at the top of the helm can change, you know, but you want to, it's very important, because you're going to, wherever you work, you're going to be there for 20 or 30 years. So Any more commentary? If not, guys, we'll move on to our first story with a video component, and we've got a some good ones here. So look, for people that are listening to the show audibly, radio station or podcast, please stay loyal to those outlets for bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a story that's got a video that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. We will release a copy of the live show from the day before that has all the videos we talk about embedded into it. We'll even put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. It's a great way to watch a show. We do that Tuesday through Saturday, and they come out at 9 o'clock in the morning on Eastern time. So this first one, rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Better, body cam footage of Rochester police officers, plural, shoot and kill an armed guy. So obviously we're in Rochester, New York, and Rochester police, they released this body cam footage of officers shooting and killing this armed guy on July the 31st. They follow him, they're trying to, he's wearing like a red hooded sweatshirt, and they're trying to restrain him. And one of the officers gets knocked down, and he's got a body cam, but the sound's not activated yet, but it will eventually.
What's in your hand? What is in your hand?
What you mean, what's in my hand?
What's you on your hand? What's you on your hand?
Put it down!
Put it down, now!
Put your gun down!
Put it down now! .223, shots fired.
Put the gun down!
Put the gun down now!
Put it down.
The individual is seen with at least one of his hands in his hoodie pockets. So the officers heard asking him, what was in his hand when the sound finally activates. And it appears that he pulls something out of his pocket. The officers are yelling at him, hey, put the gun down. And then they fire shots at the suspect. He goes down, and then the officers pull a handgun out of his pocket. Now, the officers, they initially approached him, handcuffed him, and he had been hit in the chest.
What's in your hand? What is in your hand? Put it down! Put the gun down! Put it down!
One of the officers says that two or three shots were fired. A handgun could be seen on the ground that belonged to the bad guy in the video. And the footage, of course, did not have audio until the officer was seen, getting off the ground after he had tried to go, hands-on with the officer, and he got knocked down. But luckily, there were two officers there. According to the agency, the cops were there because there were reports of a suspicious person, and he's going along the deck of a home, wandering door to door, trying to get in the cars and sitting on the hood of a car. And when they found him, they attempted to stop him. There was a confrontation, and of course, he had a loaded gun in his pocket. And thank God, the cops weren't injured. And our bad guy actually was pronounced dead later on, and the handgun that they recovered was loaded. So, commentary on this, gentlemen. We've got about 2.5 minutes before our second commercial break.
Well,
not everybody at once. Oh, Travis, I'm sorry.
Yeah, as you know, I'm often talking about what we call pre-incident indicators or pre-attack indicators. And a huge indicator was when he turned around and began to walk away in the manner that he did. And the officers, very correctly, you could tell that their heightened sense of awareness immediately went up, which is exactly what we teach, right? Because when we talk about deadly force encounters or even assault encounters, it's all about action reaction. You cannot wait until you see a gun pointed before you react. You lose that every single time. And so what I really like what they did here is as soon as that happened, you can just tell that they got some awareness. There was some distance between them. And then when obviously the gun was revealed, they had time to respond to that. So, but that doesn't happen if they don't take that initial indicator seriously.
Good point. Lieutenant Randy Sutton.
So, think of the difference in the circumstances. Had a citizen confronted him when he was trying to get on the porch of the house or sitting on the car trying to the doors, this could have very well turned into the murder of an innocent citizen. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about an individual who is he has armed himself, he is doing what he's been doing, that is a serious threat. And the fact that the officers got there when they did and were able to confront this individual and take the action that they did probably saved the life of a citizen.
Excellent. Good point. And finally, not least, but last, Captain Bartlett.
I haven't viewed a lot of these. I think there's a market for holsters that fit inside your sweatpants that are hanging off your behind. I think I'm going to be getting rich once I develop that, because they, you know, these bad guys, they don't go to the store and buy holsters. It's the funniest thing. They never, ever, ever have that, but yet they somehow survive.
Yeah. Like, you know, it was nice to see the initial cop go hands-on, even though he was put on the ground. I you know, there is so, and we all know there's a reluctance for cops to go hands-on. Not sure exactly why. And they rely a lot on the taser. I love it when they go hands-on. Guys, coming up on another commercial break, stick with us. We got some great stuff coming up. We'll be right back. Hey, it is time to talk about our next sponsor, and it is going to be Aero Precision at aeroprecisionusa.com. Got to love those guys. And Aero Precision, you know, they've got guns. And, you know, they were a sponsor formerly. And Aero Precision, they've got long guns. So you got to love the long guns. And, you know, they were at SHOT Show this past year. They're going to be back at SHOT Show again. And they started off with building the Aero domain. And that was, what, years ago. And now they're making guns for civilians or for law enforcement and for the military as well. So they've got a fantastic product. They got tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3 rifles. So if you're looking for a good product, aeroprecisionusa.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. And again, another great sponsor. And hey, if you haven't heard Blue the Gold and you haven't heard about Blue the Gold's, if you haven't heard about their, help me out here, Brett, they've got they've got attorney Anthony Bandero that talks about Blue the Gold, and he does all of their search and seizure things. And so if you want to be an expert on search and seizure, if you want a lower liability for the individual officer and for the agency, bluethegold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, your host for a law enforcement talk show, joined by Dr. Travis Yates. We've got Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. So thanks for being on the show, guys. And we just got done talking about a use of force where we had a guy in a red sweatshirt. Basically, he was armed, decided to actually, he fought with the cops. One of the cops went down, but we had two cops, luckily. And by the time he pulls the gun out, they put some lead down his way. He goes down and he ends up dying. I don't think that we're going to have a lot of sympathy for the bad guy. And Randy brought up a good point. If a civilian would have encountered this guy, because he was looked like he was trying to either break into homes or cars, it could have been a deadly situation for the civilian. So at least the good guys won in this one, but it really could have gone so much further south. If there's no more commentary on this, we have another story with a video component that we're gonna cover next. So let's jump to that one. And on this one, we are getting it from Rumble.com again, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Canine stops a suspect who assaulted a Thurston County deputy during a struggle after police chase.
Walk back to me now.
County 1-1 running. Come in here now. Come here. You are under arrest. Come here.
Bro, what are you doing, bro? What are you doing?
County 1 fighting 1.
What? Well, you punching me. Look at this guy. He's punching me. Yeah, he's punching me. I'm not doing nothing.
Stop!
I'm not doing nothing. What are you doing, bro? What are you doing?
Let go!
What are you doing?
Let go!
Are you being recorded? Are you being recorded? Are you being recorded?
Let go!
Are you being recorded or what?
You're gonna get dogged. Stop!
Bro, what are you doing? Bro, you're being recorded. What is your camera on? Bro, you're
weak. Right here!
Bro, what are you doing? China,
we're up against the garage.
Look at this guy. China, look at this guy. Bro, what are you doing?
What are you doing? You're a fucking bitch. You're a fucking bitch. Roll over your stomach. Roll over. 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 Roll the fuck over! Do
you understand me? Roll the fuck over! He bit me, dude! What the fuck are you doing? Bro, he bit me! The dog bit me! The dog bit me! The dog bit me! The dog bit me!
Get that hand up!
Yep. I can't move.
Now, you know, I love canine videos, especially when there's bites involved. So look, don't hate me for that. But there is some entertainment value here. And these are bad guys. These are non-compliant guys. And all this could be avoided if they just simply did what they were told. Right, Brett? So Thurston County, we're in Washington State. And Thurston, maybe they're near, you know, another you know, place in Washington that we know and love called Seattle, maybe. Thurston County Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Derek Saunders said that he was assaulted. So I'm assuming that it's not a sheriff's deputy, that it was the sheriff. Said that he was assaulted by a DUI suspect who threw a drink in his face and grabbed him by the throat. So the drink blinded the sheriff for a few seconds, and they're doing the fight thing. And then he tried to subdue him with a taser. So it all starts when the sheriff is on patrol. He sees a guy driving a white utility pickup truck with no taillights going 53 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone. The sheriff sees the driver nearly rear end another car. Then he passes the other vehicle in a no pass zone. And so the sheriff deploys his emergency lights and a siren. Driver doesn't pull over. Instead, he speeds off. So eventually he follows the suspect to the driveway of his own home. And so the suspect is at the suspect's home, and the DUI suspect gets out of his truck. He's still got a drink in his hand. And it says that it didn't appear that he knew he was being pursued by law enforcement. And the sheriff is giving him commands, you know, lose the drink, dude, drop the drink. The guy still got the drink in his hand. He tries to go in the house to the open garage door. So the sheriff gets out of his car. He goes up and he grabs the guy. Fight is on, and he throws the drink in the sheriff's face, and that's how it kind of blurred his vision for a while. Drivers refusing to cooperate. They're fighting in the driveway, and the sheriff's trying to do the taser thing. So in a statement released on Facebook, Sheriff Saunders writes that the driver tried to run inside their house, and when I grabbed a hold of him, they doused me in the face and my eyes with what smelled like sweet liquor. So it already tells you that this guy has got a taste for his alcohol, because he knows it was sweet liquor. And I'm surprised he didn't like say it was like a cognac, or it was like, you know, maybe a Gavassier or something, Randy. But anyhow, sweet liquor. So he took the time to taste it during the fight, Randy. And then at which point a fight ensues. So the first portion of the fight, he said he was not able to see clearly. The sheriff reports the suspect then grabs at his vest, turns his emergency radio off. Not cool. And then he rips the lapel microphone from the vest. And at one point, the suspect grabs the sheriff's throat, and then the sheriff deploys a taser, but it didn't work. It was extremely close proximity. And now a neighbor sees the fight going on. He runs over and he helps the sheriff hold the suspect on the ground, but they're still fighting. And that's where K-9 Asher shows up. And so the K-9, you can hear the K-9 coming, and the K-9 bites the guy in the air. And then the suspect, after he was bitten, it says he kind of gives up. They had to get what they call a wrap restraint device. It locks the shoulders like a shoulder harness. They use that to finally, you know, go 10-15 and to incapacitate the guy. Family members say they actually had offered to drive the suspect home from an event earlier in the evening, but he refused. I can't believe they let him get behind the wheel of a car. Said that he did not have permission to drive the family company vehicle as well. And listen, after all this drama, listen what the department does. The sheriff says the decision was made not to impound the truck for evidence because the family needed it to make a living. How cool is that? After all that drama, he does that for the family. It may have helped them avoid a lawsuit too. Who knows? But anyhow, commentary on this one, guys.
Yeah. The citizenry out there has apparently learned that while the police are putting hands on, they can say stuff like, "What's going on? Why are you doing it? What's happening?" You know, if a guy can talk that calmly, not enough force is being applied. Now, I'm going to come up with a public service announcement for our local agency, and it's going to be this. If you disobey our police officers, you're going to get punched in the snot locker, and it's going to hurt really, really badly. I don't understand why, when this fight's underway, that, again, the policeman doesn't reach up and punch him in the face. Because who was the boxer that said, "Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face"? Yeah. And I'm telling you, we've all done it. You punch a guy in the face, and it's worth about three or four other different moves. So anyway, he should have punched him in the face.
So, Lieutenant Randy, is there a market to have a cup that won't spill your alcoholic beverage while you're fighting with a cop, you think? Is there a market for that?
He's got his little sippy cup while he's fighting with the cop. In regards to what Brett just said, it was pretty clear that the officer had it was more of a wrestling, a little grabby stuff going on, as opposed to a real commitment to take this guy down. And I think that momentum, that loss of momentum, was relative to the resistance that took place. This guy was clearly not going, and he's playing the "well, who me? What are you talking about?" And you're right, Brett. I mean, if they can have that conversation while you're trying to knock them into submission, then we got to change the use of force issues here.
Yeah, look, use of force never looks good. People are reluctant to go hands on. But you're right. The wrestling around and stuff, the longer you allow someone to fight, remember, things are running through their mind, and you just give them more time to plan. And I so wish that we had more punches, use of force. The word's not blunt force trauma, but it's not far off. It's not far off either. It's not. Travis Yates.
We've got to take this very seriously. I think those of us that review these videos routinely, I know we do it every day here, Chip. I do it more and more in expert type cases. We've seen a shift in officer behavior, not suspect behavior. They're still assaulting us. They still have no problem whatsoever doing that, assaulting us, hurting us, killing us. There's been a shift in our reaction to that. And I think there's a direct reflection on why from 2020 to 2024, there were more officers feloniously killed than any 4-year period in the last 2 decades. Okay. So with all the training and all the technology and the tasers on our belt and all of the fancy stuff we have, we're losing more officers today than in the last 2 decades. And there's a direct correlation with our response to that, because the suspect behavior has not changed. And so almost as if when Chuck Rensburg came out with Caliber Press in the early 80s, we had a shifting of a mindset of law enforcement. We need to shift that back. We're going to announce something by the end of the year, and we're going to do that. And these guys on this call are going to help me do that. They don't know that yet, but it's time to take this very seriously, because no one wants to talk about this. Everybody notices this. You'll hear the unions or out there, the FOPs that just talk about officer assaults and officer deaths. No one wants to talk about how to reverse this trend. You're not going to reverse it through politics. You're not going to reverse it through a presidential campaign. You're not going to reverse it through put somebody talk on a microphone. You're going to reverse it through giving real actionable training where officers can respond appropriately and timely to prevent this from happening.
I'm so glad you said that, Travis, because last year, 89,000 police officers were physically assaulted in the line of duty. 5 years ago, that number was about 50,000. And why? Because we are not teaching the warrior spirit any longer. That's why.
Let me put some brevity to that 89,000 mark. 50% of the agencies do not report that data through the FBI database. So
that's really scary.
How many officers are getting assaulted that it doesn't get reported because it doesn't end up in the FBI data? So you're talking minimum 200,000 a year. And by the way, oftentimes an officer assault is nothing short of an attempted murder. We don't treat it as such, right? And so the reason why I know that number is low is for a 10-year period, 300,000 cops went to the hospital for on-duty assaults. So do the math on that, right? Most of the time, you're not going to the hospital. So if 300,000 are going to the hospital, how many hundreds of thousands a year are actually being assaulted? We don't even have the real data on that. Nobody seems to care about that. Yeah, we're shocked by 89,000. Mm-hmm. But what if I told you it was at least double that? Because that's exactly what it is, with 50% of the departments not reporting it. This has to change. Nobody seems to want to talk about it. I guess the LEO roundtable is going to have to fix it, because I'm getting sick and tired of seeing this each and every day.
Chip, what I want to see in a police report is the officer resisted and I went medieval on his butt.
that would be the first. I would love it. All right, guys, coming up on our third commercial break, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. you can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that's gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates. We've got Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. So thanks for being on the show, guys. And wow, we've had some great discussions. Brett, your mic is open. Did you have any final words on the last story before we come back? Nope, that was just a senior moment. Okay. So we've been having some great discussion. during the commercial breaks. Travis, before we go to this story I've been holding for Captain Brett, how are things going with the Phoenix Project and with what you've got going on with the Courageous Police Leader?
Yeah, as a reminder to everybody, I did a deep dive into the DOJ investigation against the Phoenix Police Department this summer and pushed out a research report that you can find at lawofficer.com/DOJ. Lawofficer.com/DOJ. You can download that hundreds and hundreds of page report, but let me just give you the quick cliff notes. The DOJ lied 97% of the time in their report. 97% of the time they lied. The very next day the report came out, Trump pulled these consent decrees, but that's not good enough. If they lied that much against Phoenix, how much have they lied in Chicago and Seattle and Portland and New Orleans? It's atrocious. I give a lot of credit to Phoenix for releasing the data, releasing the actual incidents. That's how I was able to compare them. But when you watch the body camera of the incidents and you read what the DOJ said, it is insanity, and someone should be held accountable for it. And to this day, no one's being held accountable. In fact, the media won't even report on it because the media is so in bed with the DOJ's narrative on this, because they spent 3 years talking about how horrible the Phoenix Police Department was based on what the DOJ said. And by the way, no one's refuted the 97%. You can't refute it because it's right there playing day on video. So it's pretty outrageous. The report is out there. Nobody seems to be that interested in it, which is pretty crazy. But I would encourage everybody to take a look at it and contact your congressional representative. That's where this has to end.
All right. That's important stuff, guys. And we got to get the word out there. The more educated you are on that topic alone is going to be worth watching this show for. So thank you.
Yeah, I just pulled the report up. I'm scrolling through it right now.
Well, guys, we got a story that I've been holding. Randy, I see you got. Did you want to add something on that, Randy, before we get to the...
I just have a question for Travis. So since the new DOJ came in, didn't they drop that consent decree?
They did. It just worked out to where they dropped it 24 hours after this report dropped. And we'd been in some contact with, I can't hardly ever say her name, the head over the Civil Rights Division, DOJ. So, yeah, they were very interested in pulling that. They acknowledged the deceitfulness. The problem is Nobody seems to have an appetite to actually get rid of this in the future. Because if the administration changes, consent decrees are still in the law. DOJ investigations are still in the law. So if you remember, in Trump's first term, he didn't investigate police departments. Then Biden came in and broke the record for investigating police departments. So this is going to keep happening. They have to pull back this law. It's been so butchered and it's destroyed these communities. Because every department that deals with DOJ investigation, the cities are ruined. You're never going to go on a vacation there, right? I mean, New Orleans, Portland, Seattle, it turns crime on its head. But nobody, unfortunately, wants to do it. In fact, one specific congressman, Republican, told me, "We're never getting rid of it, Travis, because it gives us control." That's a problem. They don't want to fix it. Yeah, they've temporarily fixed it, call it a la an executive order. But if it's not codified in law, it continues on. And so my job now is to flip the script and just prepare agencies for the future when they do visit, because there's a lot agencies can do when they visit. The first thing they can do, and I'll let Chip talk because it's his show, is when the DOJ knocks, you can say, "What do you want?" And they're going to go, "We're here to investigate you." And they can say, "Good luck with that. Go get a subpoena. Bye." Quit coordinating with them to destroy your police department, because to get a subpoena for records, they have to have actual evidence. And to get evidence on a pattern and practice is a lot of evidence that they have never yet had to do.
You know, if they showed up at my front door, I wouldn't let them in the house. So why are these people letting them in their house? Because they're afraid.
anything we can do to help that effort, Travis, you know, we need to get more traction. And I love the work that you've done. You've done so much and you've exposed so much. It's just the more people that find out, you know, the better. So, so thanks for using this platform. I am holding a story, rvmnews.com. We've got just barely enough time to cover this last story. Female horn dog cop says tickets for everyone that day if she does not get laid. So a Harris County constable, well, this is from rvmnews.com. And so a Harris County constable deputy, she's facing scrutiny after a TikTok post, and I hate TikTok, but this post went viral, suggested, according to the article, that she planned to issue tickets indiscriminately because of the lack of intimacy in her personal life, as reported by the New York Post. The New York Post put this out. The post, made by Harris County Precinct 5 Deputy Jennifer Escalera, has sparked public backlash and prompted an internal affairs investigation. Brett may have some feelings on this since he was a IA captain in charge of that. The video, which has since been deleted, it shows Deputy Escalera in uniform writing on a notepad. The caption over the clip read, "Didn't," which means, you know, did not get cracked last night, so everyone's getting a ticket. Suggesting that her ticket decisions might be influenced by her personal frustrations, and parts of the uniform were blurred, but you could still see her name tag. And the Harris County Precinct 5 Constable's Office, they issued a statement saying that our administration is aware and internal affairs has opened an investigation. We have no other comment at this time. And that's what they told Fox 26 Houston. Escalera, she joined the department back in September 2021, so shy of 4 years. She has a visible presence on TikTok. And get this, she regularly posts videos in uniform. Wow. Her account also includes content about being a mother, as well as other personal musings related to her life and her work. So we've been covering stuff like this and social media presence for cops and stuff for a while. And thank you, FLG man, for the support. We appreciate it. But still seeing people in uniform, making postings and stuff. I mean, Brett, I'm just so surprised. We've been covering this for years and we still got people doing it.
So here's what's going to happen at her disciplinary hearing. Officer so-and-so, we've determined that you violated the department rules and we're going to terminate you as of today. And she says, well, what rule? Well, there's one about, you're just stupid. You're just stupid. That's rule number OU812. You're just stupid because you're using up air that a moron could be using. And you're just stupid, and you just need to leave. Matter of fact, don't assign anything. Just get out of the building because you're just too stupid.
Yeah, hold up, Brett.
I'm over these guys.
Brett, hold up. Do you really put all the blame on her when we have police departments doing stupid stuff on TikTok from the department channel?
Correct. You're right about that.
We modeled that from the top. All right.
You know, or doing these dance videos. You know, stop it. Just. I tell you, Travis, when I'm in charge and you're my deputy chief, it's just going to be a great day. And Randy, you're going to be my deputy chief of looking good. But you'll be right up there.
Fantasy novel. That's a fantasy novel.
Oh, stop it! Stop it! You're just officer. You're just
all right. Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on a second. I got to tell you, I love the dance videos. Okay, so leave them alone.
Wow. Now you're going to get every single mom that's a police officer after you at the end of the show, Captain Brett. I'm just letting you know.
Hold on a second. Who here has ever heard the term cracked when it comes down to a euphemism for sexual intercourse? I've never heard that before. That's a new one on me.
I feel like a victim.
Did we move away from Netflix and chill to that? Is that the new term? I can't keep up with it.
I can't either.
Yeah, I'd be in total transparency. I was not aware of it until they pointed it out in the article. Because in the article, I still would not have known what it meant until they suggested that that's what it meant. So, yeah.
But the point
it's a different generation. Every generation has their own terms.
Yeah.
Yeah, your generation just said sexual intercourse. That's what your generation said, Randy.
I'm an educated man.
I don't have a doctorate, but I'm.
So I think take a class in that.
We got less than a minute, but I think what Captain Bartlett is suggesting, I think that he's predicting that we have a single white female former law enforcement officer that might be in need of a sugar daddy and might have a lot of extra time on her hands.
She's not former.
Yeah.
But he's predicting. I said he's predicting that going to be.
Now, what we know from the story is that she was just being funny because she hasn't ridden any tickets in a long period of time.
Oh, that's figures.
Well, maybe it's because of the criteria to write. Maybe at the last minute, the lack of something was satisfied, which prevented her from having to write the citation. No, that's all I'm saying.
You know, thank goodness we got 3 minutes to go, because holy crap.
All right. I know. Well, look, we're coming up on the Wounded Blue Hour, but look, thank you so much to Travis Yates, Major, and also TravisYates.org, also Captain Brett Bartlett, Exumer Defense Solutions at ExumerDefense.com, and Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the Wounded Blue, the WoundedBlue.org. What's going on with the Wounded Blue, Randy Sutton?
Big announcement. This isn't official yet, but it's going to be very, very soon. Thanks to an incredible donor, I can now say that during the National Law Enforcement Survival Summit, the 5th annual, which is going to be September 22nd through the 25th, if you are a police officer who has been injured in the line of duty, it is going to be free for you. We have an incredible donor who has said any officer who's been injured. So it's going to be announced. There'll be a special announcement coming on. Check the website, thewoundedblue.org.
Perfect. Gulls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Aero Precision USA, Gunlearn, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, Two Bells, Fish Orlando, Bass.com. We'll look for you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.